It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The good news is Greece avoids a messy default. The bad news, we'll explain.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Greece has passed another do-or-die hurdle. Private investors have agreed to write off about 75% of their loans to the country. That deal should clear the way for a second bailout, which will allow Greece to avoid a messy default. Now, that's good for Europe, but it may have consequences in a more obscure market, as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
When investors buy government bonds, they can take out an insurance policy, usually from a bank. They're called credit default swaps. Remember them? They played a starring role in the mortgage meltdown. In this case, if a government defaults, the investor can claim on this insurance and get much, if not all, of their money back. Today, the international body that oversees these policies will decide whether the Greek debt deal is technically a default. Greece says it isn't, because it's mostly voluntary. But Stephen Lewis of Monument Securities says that would terrify thousands of other government bondholders.
I think investors will wonder under what circumstances any sovereign borrower could be said to have defaulted.
He says it would be like a homeowner suddenly discovering his house is not covered for fire just as the flames get uncomfortably close. It could hit confidence in a whole range of other government bonds. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Here in this country, the cost of the federal food stamp program has doubled since the recession. 45 million Americans are now getting food assistance. And a recent report found evidence of fraud in the system. That was the topic of a hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday, as Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
The Agriculture Department estimates illegal food stamp schemes cost taxpayers $330 million a year. For example, stores sell prohibited items like liquor or tobacco in return for food stamp cash. Despite electronic tracking, fraud can be difficult to uncover. At yesterday's hearing, Pennsylvania's Inspector General Kenya Faulkner said some bars will accept food stamp cards and then take the cards to a local grocery store.
You never really see the bar restaurant transaction. What you see is the recipient using to buy $200 worth of groceries at this particular grocery store. That's a little hard to track.
Committee members, including Chairman Daryl Issa, called for tougher enforcement, but without any extra money.
In fact, you're going to have to do more for less. More oversight, more accountability.
House Republicans are backing a budget that would cut $127 billion from food stamps over 10 years. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed across Europe and Asia this morning. In Tokyo, the Nikkei stock index briefly hit 10,000 today for the first time since August, a sign of a recovering economy 1 year after the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 70 points, or about 0.5%, to close at 12,907.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
We're just a few hours away from the most important economic indicator of the month, the February jobs report from the Labor Department. Economists expect it'll show us the job market continues to get better. And as that happens, more Americans are likely to start looking for jobs, even if they're already working. Marketplace's economics correspondent Chris Farrell is here now with some job hunting tips for the employed and the unemployed. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So have the best ways to hunt for a job changed in this economy?
No, I don't think so. You know, it's well established. Lots of research shows that, you know, 50% or more jobs come from connections, family, friends, former colleagues. And so I think in the downturn, that was probably an even stronger effect. But here's what has changed. Technology. Technology makes it much easier to build and maintain your network, these connections. If you think about LinkedIn. Yeah. So that is a really good move with this economy.
Although I was just talking to a boss recently who said that he actually pays more attention now to an old-fashioned resume that's delivered in the mail because he gets so few of them. Everything's online now.
Yes, but you hang out with a bunch of curmudgeons. And so I'm not exactly surprised that there's a little retrograde feeling going on there. But in general, I do think for the person that's trying to maintain their network, LinkedIn and other technologies makes it easier to maintain it and build it. It doesn't create it for you.
All right. What about people switching jobs? Is the economy now good enough for people who have been sitting in jobs that they don't love to get up and go and apply for other things?
Okay, we can't get carried away. I mean, the unemployment rate is still high, but I also don't want to recommend that anyone stay in a job that they don't like. So here's the thing, fair or not fair, employers, future employers, prefer to hire people who have a job. So what I would be doing right now in this economy, where do you want to go? Start nurturing that network. I would be going for that job, but keeping your current one until you get an offer.
Chris, does the fact that a lot of people have been staying in jobs that they don't love had an effect on the broader economy?
Oh, I think it has. You know, there's lots of surveys, Jeremy, that come out that, you know, people are increasingly dissatisfied with their job and there's job lock going on. I'm staying with this job because I need my health care benefits, that kind of an effect. And here's where I think the real economic effect is going to be going down the road. There's going to be a wave of people when they're more confident. They're going to say goodbye to that employer for the last time. It's going to be a big brain drain. Employers are going to be struggling with employees that can leave.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Chris, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, to the UK. The government there is considering changing the rules for ice cream trucks. For decades, playing music after 7 p.m. has been banned on ice cream trucks, or as the law calls them, vehicles being used for the conveyance of a perishable commodity for human consumption. Now the government wants to allow the music to be played until 8. Now, when I saw this, it reminded me of a friend whose mom used to tell him that when the music played on the ice cream trucks, it meant they were out of ice cream. Poor guy. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.